Kia ora. This program is brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard.
Morena. Welcome to the Fem Rants Show. You're here with Sian this morning. And this is the Quilted Bananas Show, as you just heard. And all of those voices on that sting, apparently it's called, are our collective members. So we make this show every Sunday morning, and it has a different flavour and taste and deliciousness coming into your ears every Sunday morning. And we are broadcasting here from Whanganui Atara, so we are on the whenua of Tiatiawa and Taranaki Whānui, Ngāti Toa Rangatira, Ngā Mihi Nui, and we are in the building of Access Radio. So yeah, this place where all of these amazing programs get heard from many, many voices through our communities. And my show is called The Fem Rants Show. And as you may have heard if you've caught us before, we mostly talk about art and poetry and music and passionate things. And this morning we're going to start with some music, because we always love to start in a way that gets you up and moving, and that might be just sitting up in bed, or it might be waggling your fingers around. So personally, I've had a terrible flu over the last few weeks, and my doctor says to me, you've got to move. And so thinking, like, what is moving in this context? And just like, oh, it's just like moving my hands or rolling my shoulders. So always an invitation to to just come into the day in the morning. And we've got a new special CD system this morning, so it's just like warming up and getting its knickers in the right place so that we can see if we can play you some music. How's it warming? Are we ready? Awesome. So we're going to hear one of my favourite songs at the moment in the studio. I worked at like the same album, and I'm sure I drive my neighbours around the bend because I listen to the same album over and over again. And this album is by Lady Hawk. And Lady Hawk got married on the same day as me and Creek, in the same place in the Wairarapa. And this song is called Dusk Till Dawn.
When you hide next to me, with your eyes up close to me, I hear footsteps in the dark. When you hijack my heart, cool breeze down the hall, I can feel you breathe outside my door. Till dawn.
from dusk till dawn.
Yum. So that was Lady Hawk with From Dusk to Dawn. And I just love that queer banging anthem for a Sunday morning. So welcome to the Fem Rants Show. You are here with Sian. And this morning I have a very special guest who is someone who I speak to pretty much every week. So what you're going to experience this morning is one of those conversations actually coming into your ears instead of just between our ears. And yeah, I think we've known each other, well, many, many years. So yeah, would you like to introduce yourself, please, Jack Trolove?
Kia ora, Sian Torrington. Thank you. It's very fun to be. It's actually fun to be physically closer to you than usual, given that we talk on the phone most of the time. So who am I? Our people hail primarily from northern Scotland and County Kerry and Cork in Ireland. Our family names are MacDonald, O'Sullivan and Tyver. And we were raised with our nan and great auntie in a place called Oxford, which is about an hour inland from Ōtautahi near Rangiora in Te Waipounamu. Our family before that spent quite a few generations in like Gore and Riversdale, so Southland. I now live in the warm, balmy north. So I was had a bit of a shock this morning in the frost. In the Rohi of Te Uri Oho, a little place called Pahi, near Maungaturoto or Paparoa, on the Kaipara Harbour around all the mangroves. Have a big, beautiful family all around Aotearoa, but mostly in the south and overseas. And and have spent various times of my life being here in Te Whanganui Aotearoa. So it's a bit exciting to be back and back with paintings and in a different chapter.
Oh, welcome back. We're very happy to have you here, kia ora. And we also have two other very special people here with us holding space. So I'll just say kia ora and ask you to introduce yourself. Jack's wonderful partner, Nate. Welcome.
Tēnā koe, Sian. Ata marie, e te iwi, kua whakarongo mai nei i te ata nei. Ngā mihi ki te mana whenua ki konei, ngā mihi ki te whare e tū nei, rere tonu ngā mihi. Kia ora everybody. My name is Nathan Wharton. Yes, as Sian has mentioned, Jack's partner, and yeah, I'm here supporting my partner as he prepares to open his new show here at Webb's Gallery in Wellington. And who am I? I'm just the tono tono, the gopher, the James that drives Miss Daisy.
I wish.
Of course, supporting him in his crafts, as he does in mine. I hail from Rotorua on my mum's side, from Te Arawa, and my dad is from the far north, Te Pōpoto o Ngā Puhi in the Hokianga. The Hokianga is an address, a mailing address, if you will, and my residence is also in Pahi, alongside Jack. So, thank you for having me also in a space where we can share our crafts. So, kia ora.
Kia ora, tēnā koe. And we have Kura, kia ora Kura.
Kia ora whānau. Welcome to the Fem Rants Show on Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM. It's going to be a fabulous show, as it always is.
Awesome, kia ora. So, As I was lying in the bath last night, Jack, I was thinking about what I was going to ask you in the candlelight, and what came to me as a place to begin in that beautiful soft light was thinking about the last time you were here with a, it's interesting, we call it a body of work. That body of work, that, those bodies of the paintings at Pātaka Gallery with your show Thresholding. And in that show, you did this wonderful thing with the light, with you had the lights moving through cycles of being brighter and then being darker, coming down slowly, so that we moved through into the dark with the paintings and sitting with them in that way. And we've just walked past Webb's Gallery, which is just around the corner, and it's such a different space. Like, it's so bright, and it's on street level, and it's yeah, I've been walking past there. The last show I did, I walked past, and it was actually empty. And I thought, wow, those paintings, they're going to be, yeah, really calling us into that space. So, yeah, how are you feeling about this show? Mm, yeah, yummy. Yeah,
yeah. It feels. I mean, just trying to think where to start. So. I love you started where you did. I think I might start by talking a little bit to the Dawn and the Dusk, that's first song that you played, because then I'll try and land myself in the bright space where that's just down the road that we're talking about. But I think and by practice generally, like the last show at Pātaka, which was largely a sort of wanted to experiment with, paintings in visual language as, so we think of it about seeing with our eyes all the time, but actually, as we know, it's like we were saying about with our bodies, where our sensory nature is so much more expansive than that, and paintings themselves, they're seeing us just as much as we're seeing them. And the idea of like removing light almost completely and just to sort of up the volume on feeling or on our sensory skills up for the paintings towards us and us towards them was a really amazing learning experience for me, generally, in terms of what paintings do and how they can work. In my practice, one of the key things that I think about a lot is like given as trans people, a lot of our histories have kind of been edited out and deleted or whatever. Where do I go to find what embodiment looks like, in ways that are like holy and magical and the opposite to really how we're kind of fed that as a sort of second best way to be a human, and so for me, that journey, having a lot of that representation in our stories removed has meant that I've had to go looking for them in other places, and actually creatively that's been the most exciting thing, because I've developed a kind of technique, creatively in terms of my studio practice. It's like looking for where trans bodies are and learning from them as experts. So in the Tai Ao, it's like I was thinking, well, if light and time, which are these things that we work lots with painting, are trans bodies, then where are they? And I literally like yelled out from my studio door trying to find, and then I was like, oh my God, the Dawn, the Dusk, these in between, these embodiments which are experts in that stuff. Same with the mangroves. So I did a show called Mangroves, the Kina, the work of the Kina, the same as again, like a practice, an old practice in our Celtic cultures, which is about calling between. So it's all of that stuff is about wanting to really understand the language, the visual language, but language in general that uplifts and teachers about threshold spaces or trans spaces, trans language. Yeah, so that's where some of that starts from.
Oh, yum, yum, yum. So I, every conversation, you get a different, you know, you get a different piece. Like all the years we've been having conversations and I'm like, oh, I never heard that quite in that way.
Yeah.
So I remember at your, the panel that you had in that, in that show, or alongside that show, I think, at Pātaka. Yeah. And I remember you asking asking this question of the audience, like, can you think of a time of transition in your life? So it might be moving house, it might be getting a new job, it might be giving birth to a child. Like, and you were listing these things, and it was such a brilliant question because it was like that, those transition, like it's absolutely part of human nature. It's part of te taiao. It's part of being in this world. And that was a real shift for me, that experience of reflecting on that question, how you brought that to whoever was in the audience, whatever your gender is, whatever your sexuality is, that you, everyone has experiences of transition and of change, and that deep understanding that you're working with, where transness and trans ways of being are actually expertise in that area, which is often really really challenging, and we resist change and we hold on. And so just wanted to mihi to you for that that past moment, and appreciate that understanding that you're bringing.
Yeah, beautiful. It's funny us having a chat here, like in this context, because I realise, like, because we know at the shorthand we've been, you know, artist friends for like probably 25, 30 years. Like, we know all of our shorthand. So I was like, weird, we've never like explicitly talked about our practices in that way, which is quite funny.
And that's great that you mentioned shorthand, because I just was aware as you was talking, I was like, oh, we've jumped right in, and I might just do a little bit more of an intro, which is Jack is a painter. So we're talking about making paintings, I mean, and drawings. And the way that I first met you was through your work, was through a painting. So way back in Whakatū Nelson, where we studied, and Sally Burton said to me, there is this painting and this person that you need to meet, and their painting is over here in this building. And it was that huge painting of a person, you know, on their knees, on hands and knees, and just staring straight out at you. And that was my first encounter with you, was through a painting. And then meeting on the streets of Barcelona, and you were painting on the streets, and this person who's just extremely dedicated to the craft, to the challenge, to the gift of painting and paint. So that's what we're here talking about, whānau, because I didn't do any of that kind of introduction in the beginning. And when we're talking about meeting the paintings, and when Jack says being there with your body, they're very large. So they're like really, really huge beings, bodies, faces that you are sitting with. So there's a interaction between the body and the paintings. We're not talking about something that's in any way small. Yeah.
I feel like they are fem rants.
They are fem rants. They are a fem rant. Yeah. So I wondered if you could talk to us a little bit, because we were talking last night about boringness and grey and beige and these colours which seem to be, well, they're not colours, right, but they seem to be a bit fashionable at the moment. So I was wondering if you could talk at all about colour in your work.
Oh, goodness. Oh, my goodness. I'm like,
anything you want to
this
offer.
Is, yeah, this is such a risky territory.
Let's go.
Only because, yeah, I have, like, it's I'm obsessed. I was, it's just, I feel like, yeah, maybe it's the, I mean, it's interesting, hey, this show is called Femme Rants, and I have thought about quite a lot, like, the kind of, in some ways, the politics of, like, colour, of, like, too muchness, of the way that I use paint is, I feel like sometimes quite camp. It's, like, sticky, big, thick, excessive, and, yeah, there's so many, I mean, it's in some ways it's hard to talk about colour because, like, literally my whole life, like, that's all I do. Everything is, like, all my days are spent making, mixing. I work in oil paint, so... And I work on a big sort of glass surface, use a lot of knives, palette knives when I'm working. So, yeah, like, I guess the kind of the language that I hear most of the time is this visual language, and it's colour, and it's pulling one pigment into another pigment to find all sorts of things, not just, colour to me, it's like a, what's the word? It's like an umbrella language. It's an umbrella word for temperature. Hey, you know, like in when I think about mixing, what's coming to mind is the mouth, the last piece of a painting, which was like a mouth that I painted, and it's like this, you have this kind of deep carmine, which is where the interior of the mouth is indicated, you know, where it sort of sinks back, and that's like this kind of deep colour, almost if you don't really know what you're looking at, it would look black, but actually it's mixed out of all of these kind of deep magentas, but the kind that are cold enough to allow it to sit back in space, and then you can mix these other ones which look exactly the same colour, but they jump forward because they're kind of like a heaty magenta, you know, so it's like this, for me it's like a thing of pigment and colour as... you know, there's it's not just colour, it's temperature, it's texture, all of these things that actually allow us to sculpt things in space, to like make bodies in space. To painting is like a the tradition that I work in is like quite a Western style of painting, and it's about, we work with illusion a lot, you know, so it's you know, and it's interesting, I think a lot about these ideas of, you know, like in painting, we're using colour, like technically playing with these materials and using colour to create, to sort of fake things, you know, like to, with representational painting, sometimes you want, there's this kind of hospitality where you want it to be so, people not to have to look and think, oh, how is that eye constructed? You just want them to feel a glassy, wet, weeping eye, you know, and so to do that, it's like, yeah, tricks, techniques, all these things which allow that to sing. And I kind of think about that a lot in terms of, you know, other conversations we've had around, you know, ideas of like drag and faking and, you know, all of these things that are sort of seen to be, what's the word, inauthentic, but actually they're just tools for creating these realities which allow people to fly. And I think colour, pigment, all of that stuff, it has the same capacity. The other thing I'm thinking about is how different forms, so lately, yeah, in the since I've moved up to the Kaipara, the mangroves, which is sort of where I live in this world of mangroves, their language is muddy, is like... I mean, you and I have talked about this before, how the work that we make is so, we're so woven into our tie out and all the different elements that influence us. But like colour, you know, like since I moved to the north, my paintings have become a lot muddier, fallen in love with that, with all of that, you know, real different palette. Whereas I think last time I was living here, and we were, our studio was out near Shelley Bay, saw a lot of those like real fluorescent sunsets. And I remember someone coming into the studio and being like, wow, these paintings you're making are really artificial. Like they look really fluorescent and really, you know, like they're not very natural colours. And I was just like, What are you even talking? Literally, there was a painting and the sun was setting and it was like fluoro orange and magenta and hot pink.
Yeah.
And I was just like, since when do we think that,
yeah,
hey, nature is, yeah, like, but also, yeah, I think that stuff, the other thing that you and I talk about often with colour is like how, you know, no colour is kind of associated with seriousness or, you know, like the black and white and the, you know, the stableness, mm, and that, like, all of our kind of wild palettes that we love, mm, are associated with, you know, hysteria, campness, femininity, all of that kind of stuff. And so, yeah, I mean, it's, anyway, these are all just beautiful, delicious things that you get to kind of call in when you're painting or making any work, hey, that uses, mm, colour. And
I think that wildness, I mean, they're also speaking to that, that wildness which is in all of us, right? And which is in those experiences of transition, you know, where we don't have control in all the time. You know, we have a lot less control than we think we do. And I'm just thinking about, yeah, people giving birth or when people are passing over and the wildness of those times, of our feelings, of what needs to be grounded, of what needs to come out and be expressed. And yeah, I'm just thinking about the role that those paintings and the art in general can offer to those wild times, you know, and how, yeah, in a society in a history which is transphobic, which is homophobic, which is sexist, which is all of these, which is racist, which is all of these things, and that is pushing down and trying to control what is seen as wildness or, as you say, hysteria or chaos or, you know, all of these things, and how there aren't very many opportunities for whoever to express that. So I had this amazing experience on the street during Pride earlier in the year where they had a street party and I was with a friend and we were dancing and they had these wings on, these like fairy wings, and they said, oh, and getting, yeah, and they took them off, oh, getting a bit uncomfortable, and there was a, because it was on the street, it could be whoever was joining, so this big party of people just came out of a bar, right, and they were the young people were in kind of graduation, you know, graduating from university, and then there were parents, and you know, so some of that, we're gonna have a little dance, and you know, sort of like awkward straight people dancing, and you know, a bit of that, and a bit of stiff, you know, stiff bodies, and this guy came over to us. He was wearing a rugby shirt, you know, just like very standard looking cis guy, Pākehā guy, you know, and I was like, all my alarms were just like red, like, oh no, what's gonna happen? And he said to my friend, oh, your wings. And my friend's like, yeah. And he said, can I try them on? And I was like, oh, waiting for that moment, yeah, of being laughed at, you know? And my friend, who's a trans person and is like non-binary trans person, and they were just like unbelievably generous. Like, I was like, I couldn't be this generous in this moment. Like, you're being extraordinary. And they were just like, yeah, take them. And so this guy, so he puts them on. And I'm still waiting for the moment of being laughed at, being ridiculed, you know, being made fun of. No way. He just moved with them. And it was honestly, it was like he was stepping in to his real self, you know, and he just danced with these wings and moved. And then when they were done, he came over and said, oh, I'll give you your wings back. And my friend said, oh, no, they're yours. You take them. They look really good on you. You know, and he just walked away. He didn't take them off. He just walked up the street with these wings. And I was like, okay, so, you know, when we're talking about those judgments, say, of like drag and inauthenticity and, you know, it's silly or it's ridiculous. I was like, but it's really, really important. It was like seeing him just shed so much and step into himself was so beautiful.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking we might have a song so that we can just sit with that moment. Yeah. So this song is also a real fave. It's by Mary Lambert, and I guess it's all about, yeah, it's about unmasking. It's about being who you are, whether that's a person in a rugby shirt and fairy wings, or a person in a velvet tracksuit and gumboots in the middle of Wellington, or whoever that person is, we mihi te you and we celebrate you this morning.
Okay, get in phase. Here we go. I've got bipolar disorder. My shit's not in order. I'm overweight, I'm always late. I've got too many things to say. I rock mom jeans, cat earrings, extrapolate my feelings. My family is dysfunctional, but we have a good time killing each other. They tell us from the time we're young to hide the things that we don't like about ourselves, inside ourselves. I know I'm not the only one who spent so long attempting to be someone else. Well, I'm over it. I don't care if the world knows what my secrets are. Secrets are. I don't care if the world knows what my secrets are. Secrets are. Sometimes I cry a whole day. I care a lot. Use an analog clock and never know when to stop. And I'm passive aggressive. I'm scared of the dark and the dentist. I love my butt and won't shut up. And I never really grew up. They tell us from the time we're young to hide the things that we don't like about ourselves, inside ourselves. I know I'm not the only spent so long attempting to be someone else. Well, I'm over it. I don't care if the world knows what my secrets are. Secrets are. I don't care if the world knows what my secrets are. Secrets are.
Show with Sian, having a beautiful conversation with Jack Trolove this morning, and we are on Access Radio 106.1 FM, and we are funded by the Rural Foundation. Now, I'm just going to do a couple of community notices. So first of all, I just wanted to draw your beautiful attention to the Rainbow Forecast, which is on Instagram and Facebook, and it's a very, very organized and easy to find out what is going on every week, every month in the Rainbow community here in Whanganui Atara. So that is there. Also, Wellington Pride Festival are doing June drop-in sessions. So they are going to be at Toi Pōnaki, which is on Upper Cuba Street, in their upper chamber room next Tuesday between 5:30 and 7. So that's about being able to connect, ask questions or have suggestions about next Pride and just connect with them. There is a film screening happening which is called No Pride in Genocide. It is it's on the Thursday, the 19th of June. It's at Massey University, which is in Mount Cook, and the doors open at 5:30. The film is starting at 8. So that is an evening of solidarity and art at the Pōnaki screening of Queer Cinema for Palestine. That is coming up on Thursday, 19th of June, and that is also on the, if you jump onto the Wellington Pride Instagram page, you'll be able to find the link for that there. I also wanted to just do a quick shout out for my monthly queer and trans drawing club that I am running at Hutt Art Society in Lower Hutt, Te Awa Kairangi. It's once a month and you can come and draw and be in queer community and be creative together. So you can Google Sian Torrington art classes and that will pop up. But we're also here today talking about another queer and trans fabulous art event which is opening next week, which is Jack Trollove's painting show at Webb's Gallery, which I believe is it opening on Tuesday evening or Wednesday?
The opening is Wednesday evening. Also, okay. Stevie Hokamo is making the most amazing, amazing, delicious works that are also going to be there. So we're having sort of two solo shows together.
Yeah.
So, and I didn't even answer your question. Tuesday, it's open to the public, I think, but our actual opening is Wednesday evening at 5:30, yeah.
Great. And then the show will be on for...
So, yeah, opening is on the 18th, so this week, and then it's up for, I think it's up for a month.
Up for a month. Fabulous. Yeah, so that is on Marion Street. So a well-beloved street of our communities, and Jack Trollove and Stevie Hokamo, that's a queer and trans takatāpui powerhouse exhibition right there. So yeah, check that out. That will be free to go in. You can just go in and have a look and have a commune and have an amazing time. So Jack, before you were talking about physically the materials of painting, you were talking about stickiness and we were talking about colour, and I'm just wondering if you can talk to us a bit more about how that, how the stuff of paint, the materials of paint or the other mediums that you might work in like choreography, how do they relate to, for you, to transness, to transition to transness? Tell us.
Beautiful. Such a yummy question. Thank you. So, yes, I think it's making me think before of, you know, and this really relates to your practice and your work also in terms of marks that, you know, when we experience artworks or we experience anything that has mark making on it, we, in the same way that we respond to, you know, I think about in the early, early times when humans are kind of making marks on cave walls or spitting in clay to work, you know, it's this kind of ancient impulse, say, for us to communicate, to tell stories through mark making. But the marks themselves, they communicate. So they are shapes and space. You know, when we, I think about when we walk up to a like tiny etching, and I've watched people, because I've worked in galleries as well, as I used to do tours in the City Gallery like a billion years ago. And I got to watch how people, the choreography of how people are around artworks. And I noticed that there's really works that are tender and tiny and small, people literally creak up to them, you know, and works that are like huge and big, people like they physically start moving differently. So a lot of the, you know, I know also with your works, I've seen people, wow, how they move around your works. And it's the same thing when we use. So sometimes, for me, scale is about making marks with my body that feel huge, that feel kind of bold and wild, and noticing that when people communicate with them with their bodies, they move differently. They kind of, I watch people's chests open up, their shoulders go back, and I've seen people do that around your big works also. So it's like, I guess the first thing I want to say is that visual language is not separate to us. We are visual language. Our bodies, we are mark, you know, we are, when a dancer flies through space, they're making a drawing. It's all the same thing. But so it's the first thing that came to mind when you asked that. But I think it's been a beautiful, I've been doing some research, like, not a huge fan of academia, but I have gone there lately. And the cool thing is that it's made me really have to think about how to, you know, all the stuff, I think, for me, art making really comes from, it's just a gut thing. It's so not a brain thing. It's not cerebral. The more I think in the studio, the worse everything gets. Like, it's just, it's like the muscle is feeling, eh? And so, but in this process, I've had to try and pull apart, like, why that feeling works and how we can make art with that feeling and everything. And so some of that has been thinking about, using the framing of, like, wanting to uplift the gold and the magic that is in transness. And when I say transness, I'm, you know, like you referred to before, I'm not talking about, you know, I'm really keen to kind of lift that out of the silo of gender. I feel like transness gets siloed in this kind of gender thing, but actually, it's, hey, well, Nate and I were talking in the weigh-in this morning about, wairua, like spirit, everything. That transness is like, it's just the truth of unseparation, of the fact that there's constantly multiple streams pulling together. I think that's the thing, like transness, we are woven into the fabric of the universe, and the lies that we've been told tells us that we are, unnatural, which is just outrageous, because all the research I've been doing is looking at how in nature, and in culture, transness is just the force field of change, eh? So it's like, and I think, sorry, I will come back to your part, but just while I'm there, some of the other stuff that I was looking at in the research was around, you know, why is there such, and at the moment, such a huge pushback, or aggression towards our existence? And so why is that? What's that attached to? And in that research, I got to really dig deep down into, if we go past gender, past all of that stuff, using practice as a way to think, to, you know, because art making for me, that is a, it is a transing, like the act of pulling something out of nothing, is that. But when we dig down, why is it hated so much? And like, so for me, looking through a Pākehā lens and through my histories and stuff, I went back to like, when were the last times we had, you know, really sophisticated transing practices in our cultures? And that's what took me back to the keening. So that's the, in the Irish traditions, the wailing, calling between worlds when people pass, to weave those worlds back together again and to allow the living to stay living and the those who have passed to pass fully. So that, in my mind, that is a trans practice. That's a practice that uses binaries to activate what, to undo them basically, or to dissolve them, to heal them, to work with them. And thinking through that process of colonization, like to become colonizers, we've had to stop using our trans practices. So in doing that, we have to start hating on anything that is trans. We have to, you know, all of that kind of stuff. So not just in terms of, yeah, anyway, there's a whole other corridor there, but so for me, some of this work of trying to uplift transness is also about trying to reconnect us to the value of what that work is, like spiritually, energetically, culturally, and that in itself. And so in painting is like just one kind of echo of this, or one way of doing this. And so the works that I make are really large scale. I make them to kind of work twice. So when you are, so in that way, you know, setting up a binary, this kind of fiction of a binary, but the fun to play, you know, Butch Femme, like the whole thing, it's like it's so much fun there to play with. So we love the binaries. We just don't want them to be stuck, you know, like they create the playground, not the actual life. And so in painting, what that looks like what that looks like for me is like, say, abstraction and figuration. So something that where you can't see what it is, where it's the form is indistinguishable, and then figurative, yeah, just means really like that you can see the form. So in the case of these paintings, it's like a face. So physically, when you're up close to these artworks, they read like abstraction. They're like pure colour, texture, feel, all of that. And then when you pull yourself back, walk away, a face will appear. And so in that sense, you know, when I think about that, it's like creating a trans choreography to move through. So you have, the only way to experience the paintings is to trans that space, so we're kind of dissolving that binary physically around them. And then also just things like, it's been making artistic decisions to, so instead of, you know, the impulse is to kind of finish a painting, make it work, and the mangroves, because their language is spindly. I'm doing this kind of crawly thing with my hands, which is their language. And when the marks start doing that, really different things happen in the paintings. And so now, since meeting them, I've started leaving lots of linen showing through. Like, so literally they're kind of, I mean, you could say that they are half finished, but they, but that's kind of intentional, because I want to hold them in that space of forming, you know, of beginning to be made, but not like not landing anywhere static or still. I want to make the work that you know, quivers in that transness and that kind of liveness of becoming. And so yeah, and it technically that's like some of the ways that painting can trans,
and it's very, very difficult, hey, to leave something in that quivering, alive sort of state. And yeah, over the years and years, I've learnt like how skilled, like, and how much courage that takes to be like step off. And I think about, in practice, and I know, you know, we've talked about this many times, I think we have to learn how to keep something alive by going over that line, and it dies, and it's, you can't get it back, and you're in that like battle, of like, maybe if I do this, maybe, and then acceptance of like it's gone, like I can't bring the colour back to go pop again. I can't, and it's through, certainly for me, it's through those experiences of going, okay, like stop, like when you're not sure, when you stop then, and go and have a bath or whatever it is. And even with writing, I remember doing this poetry course, and people in the class were like, very, very cross with me because the grammar wasn't right and the full stops weren't in the right place. And I was like, this is so fascinating because it's about there's a way to do it and you're leaving this unfinished. And for me, I realized, I was like, no, it's more important that it's alive. Like, I think, you know, as humans, it's like, that's the job, right? It's like, keep things alive, keep things flowing. Like, it's not our job to bring something back from the dead. Like, that's beyond what we can do. And I think as artists, there's that, yeah, like, where do I leave it? I might be unsatisfied, I might be unsure, and I might have to just stop right there and leave that livingness. And I remember our beautiful Sally Burton, teacher in Whakatū, talking about life drawing and saying, like, you do not have to draw all of the lines. Like, we know the body, we're in a body, we see bodies, we move around bodies. You, like, how, play with how little you can put on the page. People will finish the line, you know?
That's the thing. And I think, like, also thinking about the way paintings work and what they do, you know, it's like you don't want to mansplain, you don't want to over-explain every single thing. Otherwise, what's the point? You know, the paintings, like, live in physical space and it's freaking sacred and amazing and hardly anything lives there anymore, because, like, it's so many things are digital. And then, so it becomes, like, to me, it's like a kind of church space now, getting to be with physical work in real time and space. And so part of that is thinking, like, you know, like, I know that the, you know, even this work that's going next door is, or a few doors down, you know, to Webs. In some ways I want to say it doesn't even exist yet. It will wake up and become who it is when people are with it, bringing themselves to it, to like, not finish, but to, like, there's this beautiful word Val Smith uses, co-conspire. And it's like mist. It's like, you know, in that kind of breathing together, something comes into being, and it's,
Yeah, and I think what I heard before when you were talking about moving, like, being in that transition space with the paintings, moving closer, moving away, was actually a real kind of playfulness as well. You know, I think about little people and our cats, and, you know, something new comes up. What do? They sniff it, they move around, they go close, they want to go underneath it, they want to go inside it. And I'm like, just want to invite that in, or wish that, I think, for this exhibition, that people, do move around and explore and the sensoriness of your work, you know, the juiciness of feels like a sort of reassurance in a way around that transition sort of spaces, like, actually can be yummy and playful, and you're allowed to move and you're allowed to explore. And so, I'm feeling that invitation today for your show.
Delicious. I was thinking too, when we were talking before about perfection and not, you know, Nate's a weaver and often speaks about how, you know, intentionally leaving the, because they're not mistakes. But, you know, I just sort of feeling like, I know we're coming towards the end, and I'm thinking, like, what's the incantation for the day? Like, what's our prayer for the day? And I feel like I'm just getting a sense that something, move, and don't, not to get caught on, like, perfection or finishing or, because that is the,
And that's what we receive, when we're with actual atinana, with people in our bodies, with art, when it's live, is that those things are in it, you know, on social media where you know, oh, this person's so good at this, and then one day they show you, like, this is the camera crew, this is the, you know, and you're like, oh, that's all going into, you know, creating this thing that I thought just is, you know, looking really perfect. So the show is at Webb's Gallery from next week. So it's on Marion Street, and Jack Trollove's work will be there alongside singing with Stevie Hokomo's amazing work in uku and in clay. Really looking forward to seeing their work as well. It's always really, really powerful. And to being in the dynamics between your works as well. Yeah, two of my big fave artists being together in really, really different kinds of works as well. So, yeah, I hope lots and lots of people can make it along. Yeah. Have we got 1 minute? Amazing. We've got 1 minute left, Whānau. So I hope that you enjoyed our weaving and our living. It's always a very living conversation. So this has been a really special kōrero for me to share out with the world, inviting people to drop in on the ongoing river of our creative relationship and conversation and exploring and encouragement and dramas of making art.
And I'm gonna just like steal myself a couple of seconds just to mahi to you and your fucking anyway, the wildness, of how you make, how you live, and your generosity, and the fact that on a Sunday morning you come and do this to like create heat in our lives and our communities, that you like keep voicing and speaking and making space for all of the making and all of the mess and the, yeah.
Kia ora, Jack. So ngā mihi nui to you and ngā mihi Nate. Welcome here. It's wonderful to have you here with us. Ai, and kia ora.
That program was brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard. Thanks New Zealand On Air for funding accessmedia.nz.